You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Do y'all remember Toof Tunes?
No. What's Toof Tunes?
Matt's too old for Toof Tunes.
I'm too old.
So Toof Tunes were these toothbrushes, and they had a song in them. And to hear the song, it was only 2 minutes of the song, you had to brush your teeth, and it sent the sound waves through your teeth to your brain.
I'm kind of an audiophile. I only listened to the songs the way they were meant to be heard.
Through your skull bones.
I'm looking up the songs they had on the Tooth Tunes.
Did they have The Little Mermaid? Because I'm almost certain that my sister had that.
Ooh, actually, I don't know. The only one I've heard people having from my accidental Twitter poll today, everyone has the All-Star one.
Oh, okay. Of course.
Somebody made a playlist of them on Spotify. Which I am now going to follow.
What a time to be alive.
We had Rockstar by Hannah Montana, Walk Away by Kelly Clarkson, We're All in This Together, the High School Musical cast, Shake a Tail Feather by the Cheetah Girls, Say Okay by Vanessa Hudgens, Let's Get It Started by the Black Eyed Peas, Year 3000 by the Jonas Brothers, The Best of Both Worlds by Hannah Montana, Walking on Sunshine by Ali and AJ, What Makes You Beautiful by One Direction, I guess they must have brought it back, Fearless by Taylor Swift, Pumping Up the Party by Hannah Montana, You Smile by Justin Bieber, and Baby by Justin Bieber. I think that's great.
Where's All-Star?
Do they...
Oh, I don't know.
The top. I thought it was at the top. No, it was Rock. That was Rockstar by Hannah Montana.
All-Star, Tooth Tunes, Raj.
Did they do multiple runs of this?
I guess so, because One Direction would have been later.
Oh, I mean, that's still like that's like still 2010. Like, I think this is all very like 2008 to 2010.
The first commercial was 2007.
All of the comments on Amazon are just people saying that I'm buying this for the nostalgia.
Do you think they made royalties off of it?
Probably.
Toothbrush royalties? So,
basically, somebody out there needs to start the first indie toothbrush label.
I'll release your album on Toothbrush.
Dude, on eBay, you can get a 2006 Tooth Tunes brush.
So people is it used or is it?
No, there's a Star Wars one. There's a Kiss one as well. No, they're
of course there is
packaged. Yeah, there's a Kiss one.
I love to brush my teeth and hear the Imperial March in my head. Welcome to Music Is Good. Send us some Toof Tunes, please.
Please.
I'm Devlin 180 Kickflip Galloway, and today I'm joined by somebody. Go. Oh my god. No, we're not doing the thing.
I'm Annie Star Today Negrin.
And I'm Matt Astro Zombie Lane.
Oh, that was good.
And I'm Rhiannon Hawk. No relation.
Oh yeah.
Today we're covering a weird one. We're doing the soundtrack to Tony Hawk's American Wasteland, which is the 7th game in the Tony Hawk's.
Like, one that definitely came out well off, like, well after the time most people dropped off of this series.
I didn't even know it existed.
I think, like, the last game before this one was, like, Underground 2, which was sketch and more like a Jackass simulator.
Underground, the first Underground slab.
The first Underground
I just remember...
Slab.
I remember playing like Pro Skater 3 and just getting, or like I own 2, but I used to jam Pro Skater 3 at a friend's place, and we'd always get like the hacks for like no gravity and just and like infinite and like and like infinite balance, so you'd just be like seeing how many, like we got to like 1080 degree kickflips and stuff. Or 172 or whatever it was, yeah. 60 times, how many?
My big jam was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, which had Goldfinger Superman and also had The Boy Who Destroyed the World by AFI on it.
Yes.
And I think that record has done more for modern music than anything else.
I played skateboard games up until I was like 14. So there is some really, I'm a little bit younger than you guys, so I played a couple of really good ones, but there was this one soundtrack, I think it was Skate 3, I don't really remember what year it came out, let me see.
Yeah, we play it just to have bone breaking competitions to see who can break the most bones from falling in that game, because nobody knew it. Yeah, what
did we call it? That's harsh. Okay, the soundtrack for this one was like Animal Collective and Agent Orange and like the Beastie Boys. Moon and Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Oh my god.
We're on the same soundtrack as Dinosaur Jr. and Johnny Thunders.
That's a mess.
Joy Division was also.
Well, yeah, but
soundtrack.
Like, think about, that's also everybody you know's like taste in music. So it's not that weird.
ODB. Like, ODB and Neil Diamond were also on the same soundtrack.
That's amazing. I want that collaboration.
The soundtrack is so good.
Like,
Young Jeezy was also on the same soundtrack.
I'm just trying to be as acceptable as possible.
Young Jeezy was on the same soundtrack as the Greenhorns. It was amazing. It was a good soundtrack.
Oh, wow.
Ah, oh, yes. Disorder by Joy Division. My favorite skate song.
I mean, Tony Hawk's Underground 2 had Warsaw, to be fair.
It did!
Really?
Yeah, it did.
I'm looking for it, but I don't see that.
Yeah, there was a couple songs that really just seemed weird to put in there. Like, I very much remember, like, this one, I never hear about this band, but in Tony Hawk's Underground 1, there was a track by The Faint, who I think really needs more attention.
Oh,
they rule.
Like, the song I Disappear with, like, my jam in grade
7. I remember
7.
That. I do remember that. Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to remember other skate games I played. What about the first skate game?
I never played any of those, to be honest. Besides, like, Friends.
Yeah. I think I do remember playing Pro Skater 1. Was that the blue one? Did it look blue for N64?
The first skate game came out in 2007. These were the EA skate games, though.
Oh, EA.
They kind of bounced off of the Tony Hawk fame from, like, the late 90s and the early 2000s, and then, like, redid it for the mid-2000s. Oh, the soundtrack is just, like, non-existent, like, fake games. Like, these are real bands.
I think I remember hearing the Sex Pistols for the first time on, like, a Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
All of our music tastes were influenced by Tony Hawk games.
It's not.
I mean, a lot of people's were, like.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, sometimes you forget that, like, how important soundtracks are. Like, I think that I would love to come back on if you ever do the Digimon soundtrack. And like, when I found out that, what's their name, like, Ska Tune Network, like, who is probably the most successful ska musician right now, is like, first heard it on the Digimon soundtrack, which, so, like, this is important. It's very important.
It's true. Soundtracks, like, do totally influence a generational movement of music fans. Like,
think about the Space Jam soundtrack.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
The Lion King soundtrack was my jam when that came out. I feel like, Can You Feel the Love Tonight, I think, is why I'm kind
that,
of
that's how you, yeah.
romantic.
That's how you discovered unappreciated indie artist Elton John.
Exactly. We really need to get Elton John on the pod, I think. Like,
oh,
I think they're accessible.
This is a big claim. This is a big claim this time.
You just reminded
Sir
me
Elton,
that also.
Come on the pod.
You reminded me also that part in The Lion King makes me uncomfortable because I hate that the girl lion has bedroom eyes at that one scene, and I don't.
Oh, yeah.
It's not good.
That was a polarizing scene, and everybody on one side of that pole became a furry.
I'm not a furry. I am not.
I don't know, you just, Matt. You put cat ears in a lot of stuff.
I did. Oh yeah, shut up.
Yeah, you just kind of like that scene. It's normal. Anyways, so like I picked this album, and it's like a weird album. And actually, the way that I found this album is sort of the way that I came to this album is actually completely unrelated to Tony Hawk's, but because of the Fall Out Boy version of Start Today that's on this album.
It's so good.
It rocks. But also, like, the way that I found this is, I want to know if any of you had the same experience, where for me, for a long time, the way that I discovered music, basically before, like, Spotify and, like, stuff like that, the way that I discovered music, if I wanted to get into an artist, I would torrent their entire discography and just kind of...
Too.
Yeah, and I would just, like, a lot of times I would, like, start at the first album or, like, pick a random album or something, which usually meant that, like, I would not get into them because I always pick the wrong album. I would have no idea what the, like, fan favorite songs were until I went to see them live. Like, I would, like, love a band. I would listen to them all the time, but then I'd go to a show and, like, everyone would be singing along to, like, the one song I didn't pay any attention to because I got into it, like, such a weird way. Anyways.
I torrented the entirety of Ricky Martin's discography.
Dear Christ.
I do remember that quote.
Yeah, and he was living La Vida Loca.
And he's still living La Vida Loca.
I am.
Anyway, so like, yeah, they had this version of Start Today on it, which like I had no point of reference to where it was from because like it just didn't have the right like metadata, and like they have like it was just kind of mixed in with a couple other B sides. Like they Fall Out Boy has a pretty decent cover of Love Will Tear Us Apart as well.
What?
That I recommend.
Really?
Yeah, and it has like it's very, very acoustic, but then like at the chorus, like this kind of like drum roll and like kind of driving bass like comes in. It's like it's very it's interesting, but I like definitely like it. But you know, this was mixed in with a couple other weird B sides. So and then later on I was like, what this is actually from? And then I found it was from the soundtrack that was the like, you know how there's like the Punk Goes Pop albums?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this, I was like, someone should do a Punk Goes Punk and just have a bunch of like modern bands cover a bunch of classic punk songs. And then I was like, oh, this already exists. It's this weird soundtrack.
It's Punk Goes Pop Punk Emo.
Yeah. It's Pop Punk Goes Punk.
Yeah.
I actually played this game when it came out because I stole it from my best friend at the time. And I think I like 100% complete this game. It's not the best. It's not the best. But
how many times did you hear these songs?
I don't know. I do not know. But it's actually how I first heard Institutionalized as an actual song.
Only wanted a Pepsi!
Just a Pepsi.
For me, Institutionalized was like... So my dad is like super chill. He's like, you know, he's like a teacher. He loves like... bagpipe music and like Billy Bragg. Like he listens to a lot of like Billy Bragg. Like that's his like thing. And like, but he for some reason had a like cassette copy of the first Suicidal Tendencies album. And I was like going through his like stuff and it was like, what is this? He's like, oh, that's Suicidal Tendencies. They rock. And like, so I remember like borrowing my dad's cassette Walkman when I was a kid and just wandering around listening to that like album. And it was like super formative for me.
Like, how old were you, though? Because it would have been hilarious to, like, see, like, a little kid walking around and, like, you, like, take their headphone off and it's like, all I wanted was a Pepsi and Jay wouldn't give it to me.
I mean, I would have been, like, 13 or, like, at this point.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
I really feel like the unintentional target audience of First Suicidal Tendencies album was 13-year-olds. I don't think that's who it was meant for, but that kind of happened.
Well, it is a pretty like it's a pretty juvenile album. Like, I saw your mommy and she was dead. Like, it's just if you take away some of the edge, it has a very like Dead Milkmen sort of energy.
Yes. What's the song about killing Reagan? That's another good one.
Oh, I gotta listen to that album again. That fucking Big Lizard in My Backyard, right?
Is I Shot Reagan?
Yes, I Shot Reagan.
So good.
I think.
Or so I Shot the Devil. We haven't really talked about what this... Yeah, I Shot the Devil and the Devil is Reagan. We actually haven't really talked much about what this album really is. It's like a soundtrack, but it's like from 2005. It came out on Vagrant Records, but that's all there... It's 34 minutes and 30 seconds, but that's all there really is about it. Like,
yeah, it's just kind of a compilation where all these pop punk bands specifically recorded these covers for this game. And beyond that, there's not a whole lot of information.
Which is so funny
to me. Like, I remember, like, doing the torrent thing and then finding the Astro Zombies My Chemical Romance cover, and I was like, this... rules, oh my god. But I didn't go like, where is it from? I just went this is sweet, what's the next song?
That's most kids' experience with music, I think.
Yeah. So well, two cover songs that didn't make it on this album that were recorded. Oh, and I would love to find them. If you're listening and you know where to find them, please. They're the cover of Wild in the Streets and another Misfit song called Teenagers from Mars.
Oh, ooh, Teenagers from Mars.
Nice.
Who covered them?
But
does it say who covered?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, bummer.
So, also it's funny because, like, most of what I know from this is from the Wikipedia, where it says that, like, IGN gave the soundtrack a 4.1 out of 10, stating that the soundtrack is aimed more towards emo lovers instead of punk. Which, like, you know, like, the soundtrack is, like, it's all, like, Senses Fail, Taking Back Sunday, My Chemical Romance, Saves the Day, Thrice, like, Thursday, like, all that. But, like... all of them, none of them are bringing emo vibes to it. Like, no, all of them are, like, all of these, like, super whiny, like, hardcore, like, post-hardcore and emo bands are doing pretty straight-faced, like, punk covers.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sweet. And then you have the Dropkick Murphys in there for some reason.
I was just gonna say, why are the Dropkick Murphys there?
That being said... there is one moment that I think brings emo vibes, and it's the Taking Back Sunday cover of Suburban Home by the Descendants, because those backing vocals make me really mad, and I hate them. And it's
I wasn't crazy about it.
I hate to get, like, I don't about it.
I actually want to listen to the Emmanuel, like their more of their music, just from the cover of Search and Destroy by the Stooges. It was like,
do you want me to go through the? I wrote down every song that was on this album because I think they're all really interesting. I think they're all good pulls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at the soundtrack right now. Yeah, please.
So we got Institutionalized, which was originally by Suicidal Tendencies, and it's covered by Senses Fail. Suburban Home by the Descendants, which is covered by Taking Back Sunday.
Suburban Home / I Like Food.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Astro Zombies by the Misfits, covered by My Chemical Romance. Search and Destroy by the Stooges, which is actually one of my favorite Stooges songs. I'm very validated by this. I love the Stooges, so. Covered by Emmanuel. Sonic Reducer by the Dead Boys, who's covered by Saves the Day. Devlin mentioned something about being, like, 15 and covering Sonic Reducer, which I thought was good. Who Is Who by the Adolescents, covered by the Dropkick Murphys, which I think is my least favorite thing on here.
Oh, I skipped it every time, I won't lie.
Yeah.
Seeing Red by Minor Threat, covered by Thrice. House of Suffering by Bad Brains, covered by The Bled. Time to Escape by Government Issue, covered by Hot Snakes. Start Today by Gorilla Biscuits, covered by Fallout. Wash Away by TSOL, covered by Alkaline Trio. Ever Fallen in Love by the Buzzcocks, covered by Thursday. Let's Have a War by Fear, covered by From Autumn to Ashes. And finally, Fix Me by Black Flag, covered by Rise Against. Mm-hmm. So it kind of slaps. These are really good, like,
yeah, and like, again, like, sure. Thursday is a pretty, like, Thursday is kind of awesome. Like, I'm blanking on the name of their singer, but I think he's the one who's, like, I think it's Jeff Rickley. Like, I feel like he's, like, been a pretty good ally and, like, been one of the good ones, like, for a long time.
I've only ever heard positive things about Thursday.
Yeah, like, I think it was, like, his Collect Records is, like, is pretty good. I have to dive deeper into it, but I just remember they were, like, in early talks to, like, sign Gloss back in the day, and, like, he was part of, like, one of the big push to get, like, what was it, like, Were, like, dumped from their label, and...
No, damn. I didn't actually know that was him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was attached to that. I'm blanking on like the specifics, but I know I just remember him coming up a lot, like whenever, always on the right side of stuff. But also their cover of like Ever Fallen in Love, like I think that song is comfortably in the realm of songs that are objectively good.
That song is so, I know Annie and Matt, you two love that song so much.
I too have fallen in love with someone I shouldn't have.
That song, really, it's always meant a lot to me. It always f***s me up, but it recently really f***ed up when I was dealing with an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
So the song doesn't have to do with an abusive relationship, but it could be. Who knows?
But I think it's in the list of songs where if I had to, like, if I met an alien from another planet and I had to give them a list of songs that are good, that would be on it. Like, it's not even like, it's not one of my favorite songs, but I think it, like, it succeeds. It's like 10 out of 10 at everything it tries to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And like it's just funny, like, looking back at all of these bands, like a lot of bands that I just haven't thought about in a while, like,
oh yeah,
like Senses Fail is one of those bands I tried really hard to I tried really hard to get into Senses Fail, and it never happened, which is funny because for a while, like, Buddy from Senses Fail, like, I don't know if you ever followed, like, this news story, but he was, like, the only, like, LGBT person in the scene, like, even adjacently. Like, like, that he came out as LGBT and therefore was, like, the only queer person in this scene until, like, the last couple years.
I really tried hard to get into them, too, mm-hmm. but I didn't know any of that stuff.
You get the idea that it's a very, very straight scene, like these, like this, like late mid 2000s.
The whole Warped Tour thing,
pop punk, yeah, Warped Tour stuff.
Warped Tour, like, have you guys ever dumpster fire?
Have any of you been to Warped Tour?
Like, no. I went to one, like the last one that came to Vancouver. That's what I went to, like in 2009 or whatever.
I think I've been to three. I've been to Taste of Chaos, so I've seen.
Oh, how many times have you seen Bad Religion now?
Oh, only once, thankfully. No offense to Bad Religion.
Yeah, I saw Bad Religion at Warped Tour.
I thought they played every Warped Tour.
I think they do, but I think I was just like the first time I saw them, I was like, oh, that's cool, I get it. I'm like, I'm gonna go see Aiden.
I forgot about Aiden.
Oh god, I used to love them. Oh my lord. But yeah, I think I was talking with my sister's boyfriend. We were like driving around listening to, we were running an errand for my parents, and we were driving around listening to like a plethora of Big Shiny Tunes albums that somehow my parents inherited from like my dad's hockey team. So we were like dropping these things in.
That's the most Canadian thing I've ever heard you say.
Yeah, eh? And I was, I think we were talking about Taste of Chaos, and I think just from that alone, seeing, like, going to Taste of Chaos twice and then seeing My Chemical Romance. Oh, yeah, I've seen them about four or five times. Dear God. And then you know who's the second for the band I've seen the most? Billy Talent. Because they're always opening up for those bands.
I've seen Billy Talent too, don't worry.
Billy Talent was my first concert.
Okay.
We'll talk to that. Ray, first album is fantastic.
Ray,
what was your first concert?
Okay, so my first concert that I remember was with my mom. I went to, it was in this order, Sarah McLachlan, B-52s, and Cyndi Lauper. With,
same bill?
Yep, all same bill at the Deer Lake Park. Yeah, that's it was very good. Like, I mean, that's like where that was where I became a lesbian. But like, but then like after that, it was, what was it? It was Rise Against with Rancid opening for them. Both of them like not in the prime of their career anymore. So that was really rough. And then,
were
like,
they ever good in their prime of their career, though?
I like that core set of Rancid albums personally, and like same with like that core couple Rise Against albums, like,
okay,
like the first
enough.
One.
The first cup? No, the first. I actually like Rise Against. Like, speaking of a band that's on this soundtrack, like my relationship was weird because like I love Suffer and the Witness and a Siren Song of the Counterculture. Yeah. And when I first got into them, the album before, like, Revolutions Per Minute, was too low quality for me. Like, for some reason, like, that was too screamy, too dirty, couldn't do it. Like, which is ridiculous because now it sounds like one of the better Fat Wreck albums. But at the time, it just was, it just sounded too, like, dirty and grimy for me, which means I missed out on a lot.
Bree's a purist.
I was at the time. At the time.
Annie, what about you? What was your first concert?
I literally cannot remember. Like, I've tried to remember so hard.
That was a terrible joke. Hold on. Rise Against was later because my actual second concert was Faber Drive, Cute Is What We Aim For, Metro Station, and Simple Plan. I saw Metro Station twice. Two times. 100% of the times they came to Vancouver.
One of the ones that I can remember is Nickelback. I've seen Nickelback twice.
I'm so sorry.
Twice? I worked one of those shows at Rogers Arena, and Chad looked so beaten down coming off stage. They didn't even sell out.
Oh, it's okay. He can go home to his mansion in Langley if his guitar-shaped pool.
I think he's doing all right, yeah.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, I saw Motley Crue.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wait.
First one.
Wait. What was the lineup?
It was the original lineup, I believe.
I mean, what other bands were on that tour?
Oh, God. It was the Circus of, I don't know. They had some weird name, like Circus of Insanity or something.
Okay, it wasn't Crue Fest, because that was one of my first concerts as well.
Oh, no, it wasn't Crue Fest. No.
Yeah, because I saw, like, Friend of the Pod Trapped open for that show.
Yeah.
No. Oh man. Yeah.
No. Trapped. We'll get to you another day.
Yeah, it was the lineup was Trapped, Papa Roach, who actually whipped ass, Buck Cherry, who sucked, and Motley Crue.
Holy shit, I'm obsessed with Buck Cherry. I'm actually legitimately obsessed with Buck Cherry. They were supposed to come to the rickshaw in later this year, and I was genuinely considering buying tickets.
Oh my god.
This episode is slowly deteriorating into a catatonic youth's post.
Dude, I love Buck Cherry. Like, kind of ironically, but I just think that their stage antics are hilarious, and that's why I love them.
I can't imagine Buck Cherry at the rickshaw.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen from
just a sad old man be singing Crazy Bitch. Like, I can't.
And, like, the audience is so quiet, you can hear, like, their feet, like, on the floor while they're walking around. Okay, that's gonna be an episode too then.
Can we do Buck Cherry?
Oh.
Yeah, but we already talked about Rise Against, and like Fix Me is not a Black Flag song that I have a particular affection for.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'll be real.
What was that? Who was the Black Flag frontman when that came out?
I think it's like it says the song was written by Greg Ginn on the thing, so.
Was it?
The version I listened to sounded like Henry Rollins, but I could be wrong.
No, I think it's, I can see his face in my head. I'm Googling.
Oh, you're Googling.
Circle Jerks.
We're always Googling.
Circle Jerks. Keith Morris. I think it was Keith Morris.
That would make sense, actually. This cover of Fix Me was on Siren's song of the Counterculture, the bonus track, actually.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I really liked that album when it came out.
It was a good one.
It was. It was nice.
But it's funny because that came out in 2004, so this cover was recorded for this game, but released on their album a year before the game came out.
Yeah, Siren Song's weird. I forget, like, I might be getting the specifics wrong, but I think, like, half of it was recorded on, like, I guess Fat Wreck, and then they got picked up by a bigger label halfway through, so like half of it is indie and half of it isn't. And because I remember getting in this argument with like a friend of mine, and they were like, I was like, oh, I love Rise Against, and they were like, I love Rise Against, and then we were both like, and I love every song, every album, and they were like, up to Siren Song, and I was like, after Siren Song.
Whoa.
Never the Twain Shall Meet.
That was last time I ever saw them.
So this is actually hard to talk about the songs individually on this episode because they're songs by other people and we can't exactly talk about, you know what I mean?
It's like the writing, Russian doll version of an album.
Yeah, this album is just a Russian
my
doll.
My notes are My notes are basically just like a little bit about each band that covered them, and then basically how I feel about the original song. Most of these are like pretty just true to the original songs, so there's nothing super unique about them. Like, I kind of wish that they had changed it up a little bit.
Well, that, but also that makes a lot more sense for the soundtrack of a skateboarding game.
It's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I have fond memories of going on LimeWire after listening to this version of Institutionalized and definitely looking up Institutionalized Senses Fail and downloading this version for my not iPod off-brand MP3 player.
Your Zune?
No, it wasn't even a Zune. It was like this little red tube that you took one end off and a USB stick with on one end and like plug it in.
I had one of those. I had a gray one, but it was very similar and basically was, yeah, it's like a probe.
Yeah, I remember those, yeah.
Little probe dude. I'm hacking into the system. Probe friend.
Also, one thing I like about this is that a couple of these are like two songs like squished into one. Which I think is something that like more bands need to embrace is the medley.
Honestly,
yeah, it was kind of cute.
Bring back the medley. Another thing to like replace interludes.
Yes.
Hate interludes.
Also like live, like that, because that's really a live band move, is just like sticking band things together, but like leave space between their songs and don't like put work into their transitions or just like slam every single song back to front and then like with no like thought to, you know. With no work put in.
I think that's what Coheed and Cambria does, because there's a lot of songs by them that are just like three or four songs mashed together, but it's like super, super poppy going into like kind of weird. I don't know. I was listening to them the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Train of thought. Hop that train.
Okay. Here's the thing. Institutionalized and like Suicidal Tendencies, they really like birthed this kind of person that I think of immediately when it comes to this kind of music. Like, in the language they use. Do you know what I mean?
Like a hardcore fan. Like, the atypical hardcore fan, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like skateboarder hardcore fan.
This is, like, the hardcore punk version of, like, We're Not Gonna Take It. I think,
you're not wrong.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Like, even the video, too, right? Like...
Oh, yeah. The video, wait, I have an affinity to the video. I think the video is pretty first? Great.
In high school, whenever I was upset, I definitely have used the, like, whatever, I'll probably get hit by a car anyway and walk away.
You know what's ironic is that I kind of do believe I'm going to get hit by a car someday.
I think that's a common millennial, like, fear. Like, yeah, I'll probably get hit by a car one of these days.
I suppose.
I got hit by, like...
I don't want to be.
I've been hit by, like, three cars.
Oh, this song actually... Institutionalized came out... Whoa, what?
Yeah, I've been hit by, like, a car three times.
Car magnet.
But in even in strange aeons, even death may die. How did you? You should see the other guy. the car just got totaled.
Like last time I got hit by a car, I literally just came to work and started talking to you like normal.
You didn't tell me.
I think I told M. I was like, "Yeah, I'm probably gonna go home," or like, "I got hit by a car, my leg up." And they had to pop my knee back in at the hospital like an hour later.
Oh my god.
Just nonchalantly coming into work. Oh yeah, I just got nailed by a car.
I mean, I wasn't that calm. I was pretty like, you know, I'm kind of a, you know, all know me. I'm a pretty whiny baby. So I was like, my knee hurts. Somebody fix it.
Well, you didn't mention it to me, so you gotta be like, stay strong for Matt. Stay strong. Like, what?
I think fuck. I, like, said hi to you, and then I quickly, like, hobbled over to M and then disappeared.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Anyway, this cover is really just straight fit. I kind of like this cover more than the original.
I kind of like it, too.
Really?
I think the original's
a classic.
Yeah, I like the original's better, but it's, like, it's tight. It's good.
Yeah, it is.
This is a good one. And by the way, consider the following. This song came out in, I think it was 1982, but the Twisted Sister, We're Not Gonna Take Out, not Take At.
We're not gonna take it.
I don't know why I did that, but it was released in 1984, so.
Please, consider the following.
Suicidal Tendencies influenced Twisted Sister.
It's true and confirmed.
Dee Schneider, come on the pod and confirm.
Okay, wait. We I wanna make a note of this album reached 148 on the Billboard Top 200. It came before Get Behind Me Satan by the White Stripes. And Crazy Frog also came before Get Me Behind Me Satan by the White
Stripes. This album was like one step above Crazy Frog, wasn't it?
Yes.
Friend of the pod, Crazy Frog.
It was Tony Hawk's American Wasteland, Get Behind Me Satan, and then
Earth, Wind and Fire,
Crazy
eh?
Frog. Oh, Earth, Wind and Fire was above Tony Hawk's American Wasteland.
And then was it Rob Thomas came afterwards though? Hey, that's the Matchbox 20 guy, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I think
Matchbox 20 actually rocks.
They're kind of cool, yeah.
I will
Santana
fight both of you.
And Rob Thomas.
So, just because you mentioned it, that Crazy Frog album was, like, the second record I ever bought.
My brother had the Crazy Frog album.
Crazy Hits. It's slaps.
Crazy Frog's Crazy Hits.
You've got to stan, friend of the pod, Crazy Frog, who is also now a non-binary trans woman icon. Not even a joke.
Today we're just inviting so many people on the pod today.
Crazy Frog, come on the pod.
Dee Schneider, Trapped, then what was it? Elton John?
Crazy Frog needs to come on the pod.
How would Crazy Frog come on the pod? Just reply in like ding dings.
Dong dong.
The album cover looks like the album cover for London Calling.
True.
Yeah, and then the London Calling album cover was a parody of an Elvis album cover.
So it's
like three levels deep.
Whoa. This is meta.
This is meta because it's a cover album that's supposed to look like another album that's supposed to look like another album.
It's deep.
2005 was a different time.
Yeah, I was kicked out of high school and my house. Yeah, it was a different time.
Nice, Matt.
It's probably one of my least favorite years, but funny enough, 2015, 10 years later, was also one of my least favorite years. So I gotta
You gotta make the best of 2025, Matt.
2025 stuck, and I hope it's gonna be my year.
It'll be your year. All right. Different episode. Matt, what are you listening to this week?
Are we done?
Yeah, we kind of covered everything. There's not much to really go from here.
What time are we at?
We are at...
I mean, I don't...
We are at 45 minutes.
Matt, I mean, come on.
It's as long as, like, a regular podcast.
Shut up.
You're right.
Stop bullying us.
Bree comes on and just makes it succinct. That's it. We've got it. Who have I been listening to? I've been listening to Platinum Blonde, and I don't know. I've been playing this, like, hanging out with my folks, like, and listening to music, and we just go song for song. So my algorithm's, like, all...
That first Platinum Blonde, like, EP, like, I don't even think it's on Spotify, but it's very, very good. It's, like, very, like, new wave. Like, way more punky new wave.
I haven't listened to that, actually. I was listening to Standing in the Dark and then Alien Shores.
Give it a try.
The other day, I did sit down and cry to all of Stranger in the Alps.
Hey, you know what? Bridgers. Good for you.
I just, respect. Like, I like, ugly cried that entire album. Just, aww. Like, but I was, it's okay. I woke up really hungover the next day. I paid for it.
What are you listening to, Annie?
As I am every week, I was listening to something by Ellen Vega, so I was listening to Saturn's Trip. I was listening to Superfuzz Big Muff by Mudhoney.
Oh, that's such a good album.
And I was also listening to just the Germs discography, which is one album and one EP. So
it's not much of a discography.
It's really not. Well, no, it wasn't even... It's just one album and then one compilation called What We Do Is Secret. So, that's really
I think
really
I've only ever
is.
Heard What We Do Is Secret.
Really? You never listened to The Germs?
Not really.
No, I'm not saying go listen to them now. They're not, like, the best band ever, but they definitely have their place in punk history, so.
How about you, Ree?
Rest in peace, Darby. Actually, rest in peace, Lorna, too. She died a couple years ago. That sucks. F in the chat for Lorna.
I've been listening to this band, Yabadum, who dropped this in 2014, dropped this EP called Careful Kid. That is kind of a, it's kind of like, I guess, kind of a jazz pop rock album, but like, they're very like, if you listen to Glass Beach now, they were kind of doing that sound like over like 5 or 6 years ago. But like, it's one of those albums that's just really hard to like stop repeating. And like, every time I would like listen to it on repeat, and then I would try to go listen to something else, and then I just want to go back and listen to Careful Kid again. So, yeah, go listen to Careful Kid by Yabadum, and the song Winter is probably the best one to start on. They haven't released anything for, like, a while, so I don't know if they're still around.
Also, sorry, I have to recommend, I was listening to the Dicks discography this week, and I was also listening to, what's the band? Sorry, I have so many, like, good opinions today.
I have so many good opinions.
I was listening to This Is The Reaction by Last Rites, so I think you should go listen to that. It was like, they were like another punk band.
I do remember, I did actually end up finding this like one indie artist called Ollie Bird, and I listened to the album Barrel of Fun, and it's actually sweet.
Goddamn.
God yeah. dang.
Say that because I've only listened to one album besides this one all week because I've been playing Halo like the teenager I am.
Halo?
What album have you been listening to, Devlin?
I was listening to a lot of Perfect Youth by the Pointed Sticks, which is like a local... Slabs. They're like a local Vancouver 80s like new wave punk band, like whole Smiling Buddha scene kind of thing.
Aw, rest in peace, Smiling Buddha.
I've never been there.
It's coming back. A friend of mine.
I'm in Calgary now.
A friend of mine is trying to turn it into a community center, and there is a GoFundMe for it. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Link down below with the doodly do.
Yeah, I'll post the link because Smiling Buddha is historically important for Vancouver's music scene, and it should be a community center.
So important.
And one day it will be mine. Oh yes. I'll be there someday.
Come back, man.
I mean, don't come back right now. There's nothing here.
Yeah, I know. There's nothing here. You don't want no part of this.
Vancouver, there's nothing.
You know, I haven't heard anything. I must be living under a rock or in my parents' basement for me to miss, like, so much that's been going on in Calgary. I don't know. If anybody is hearing anything, can you let me know? Because I'll look, too. But, like, I'm not even on Facebook.
I barely use Facebook anymore. Anyway.
You're informed. I have no excuse.
I just use Twitter. Anyway, I think that's enough for today. Our shortest episode yet. No, wait. Final thoughts on this record. I skipped that.
It rocks.
It kind of slaps. It totally kind of slaps.
It definitely does.
Yeah. The lamest cover, like, band that was covered on here is Fear.
Is
what
I mean that one that Saturday Night Live sketch is very, or episode rather, is very good.
Okay, you're not wrong.
Yeah,
not wrong.
I need to see that.
I'll send it to you. It's like, so the story behind that is that Jim Belushi was a punker, and like, he was just friends with Fear, and he just kept begging SNL to let him invite his friends on, and then they like wrecked the joint within like the first song and like got just booted right at the door.
And also, geez, punk legends say that Ian McKay was there that day.
Yeah, like the idea is they're trying to pick out which like bald head in the audience is Ian McKay.
Oh Lord. Okay, so is this like a kind of Mandela effect that like it's John Belushi, but I've been all like I always thought it was Jim Belushi.
It is Jim Belushi. John Belushi is the other one.
How many? Oh, I guess there's a lot of Belushis.
Oh, so there's two Belushis.
The Belushis.
I love his Crystal Skull vodka.
That's Dan Aykroyd.
Is that Whatever. They're all Blues Brothers. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're all the fans.
Wait, no, I lied. John Belushi's the good one. Jim Belushi's the lesser one. I got it backwards.
John's the big one.
Yeah, John Belushi is the Blue Brothers. Jim Belushi is the lesser Belushi.
Oh, Jim Belushi. He was on that show. Oh, God. What show was it? It was like My Wife and Kids or something. I'm trying to find it. It was According to Jim. That's like Everybody Loves Raymond style.
Channel 28 at 2 in the afternoon.
Oh, whoa. He was on Twin Peaks. Oh, in 2017. Never mind.
My final thought on this record is that it's fun for a few. And like some of the songs do slap. Like this cover slap and the songs originally slap. But I'd probably not go out of my way to listen to this again. I'd rather just go listen to the actual songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, the like the Fall Out Boy version of like Start Today is what got me into Gorilla Biscuits, which opened me up to a lot of other like music of that time. Because like I like started
Posse hardcore.
Yeah, like I started from Fall Out Boy, and like Fall Out Boy was the band that got me into a lot of punk, that made me like start caring about punk. Like not no joke.
I think same here, to be honest. Really liked Fall Out Boy, and I don't remember. I think my very first introduction to punk was Fall Out Boy, and I mentioned the White Stripes, but the White Stripes referenced the Cramps as a big influence. So one of my very first introductions to punk was the Cramps, who we already covered. But yeah, Fall Out Boy definitely influenced that, because I mean, obviously.
Yeah, and they're like, they're very like, because they're like, you know, attached to Race Traitor, and I know like through their drummer, they're like, I feel like one or two degrees away from Earth Crisis. Like they're not as unpunk a band as people try to pretend they are.
What was their drummer's name again?
Andy Healy, I think. I might be thinking of someone else though.
That's definitely, that name rings a bell.
Yeah, well, he's like a like vegan anarcho-primitivist. Not Andy Hurley.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that name's definitely familiar.
Yeah, like he uses all of his Fall Out Boy money to like run a punk house in Wisconsin.
That slaps.
Yeah, and like associated acts, Fall Out Boy, Damn Things, whatever, like Burning Empires, Race Traitor, Earth Crisis, Kill Pill, Vegan Reich, Kill the Slave Master.
Vegan Reich.
Amazing.
Vegan Reich. Like I would kill. I've never listened to them, but I would kill for a Vegan Reich shirt.
It's kind of.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
How do you think, Rhea? How do you think they chose these songs for this album? Do you think these are all songs that they were influenced by?
I mean, I would think so. Like that would track for basically all of these bands. Because, like, you know, again, Fall Out Boy to Gorilla Biscuits. Like, Gorilla Biscuits was, like, I think by far the most refined and, like, most melodic of those sort of, like, straight-edge hardcore bands at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Totally.
I liked the original better than the Fall Out Boy cover, honestly.
Oh, I do too.
I tried to make a point to go back and listen to the original, and I was like, damn. It was like, I don't know, it's just something about the voice and the energy of the original that... But I mean, that's nothing new. That's not writing home.
Yeah, I think that's where we can stop for today then.
I think we got it.
It's a weird one, but I'm Devlin Galloway. You can follow Placeholder Records at Placeholder Rec on Twitter and at Placeholder Records on Instagram. You can follow us at Music Is Good Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm Ree Carter at Ree Carter, RHIRHICARTER. I have my own podcast called Tranifesto, which is about like LGBT themes in media, and Devlin's on it a lot. I help out with Placeholder Records from time to time.
Their episode about Mrs. Doubtfire is really good.
Aw, thank you. it'll be out by the time this one's out, but our most recent episode is where we went through the JK Rowling transphobic manifesto, which is very exciting.
Oh no. Oh, that's brutal.
She's... Oh, Lord.
I'm Annie.
I'm Matt. You stay classy, I guess.
Skate or die.
Yeah. Punk's not dead, it just smells like it.
Skate or die.
All right, that's it.
Okay. Sometimes I try to do things, and it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. And I get real frustrated, and like, I try hard to do it. I like take my time, and it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. It's like I concentrate on it real hard, and it just doesn't work out. And everything I do, doesn't matter. I'll probably get hit by a car anyway.